21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for award-winning 21st Century Radio. Here's your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Well, thank you, Telesma, and that's Egyptian Sun. This is 21st Century Radio. I'm the alleged Dr. Bob Hieronymus. Our executive producer and research assistants, Laura Kortner, and our engineer is Jake Bryant. Well, for about 20 years, 21st Century Radio has done numerous shows on dogs and other animals and the services they render to humans. They are truly humans' best friends on many levels. Now, some of the shows have dealt with communication with animals and animal consciousness and even dogs who have passed into the world of spirit and their reappearance as apparitions to their loved ones. Tonight, in Hour 1, we are going to review a superb publication that we know you will enjoy. It's called Paws and Effect, The Healing Power of Dogs, a Spiegel and Growl publication by Sharon Saxon. For centuries, dogs have helped people by herding sheep, guarding their homes, and offering them unconditional love, but dogs also have the ability to save lives. In Paws and Effect, The Healing Power of Dogs, Sharon Saxon, journalist and champion dog breeder, offers illuminating real-life stories of how our canine companions are playing beneficial roles in the lives of people struggling with chronic diseases and mental and physical disabilities. Sharon Saxon is a journalist and television producer who has worked for ABC, NBC, CBS, Court TV, The Food Network, and local stations in Baltimore, Chicago, and San Francisco. She graduated from Georgetown University, earned an MFA in creative writing from the New School. She is author of Paws to Protect, Dogs Saving Lives and Restoring Hope, Brussels, Griffins, A Complete Pet Owner's Manual, and co-authored with Nancy Plakey, could be one of those, Paws and Reflect, A Special Bond Between Man and Dog. She is an American Kennel Club dog show judge and a breeder of champion Whippets and Brussels Griffins. Sharon lives in Princeton, New Jersey. Welcome to 21st Century Radio, Sharon.
Thank you.
I understand you work for WBAL Television, is that right?
My favorite assignment.
And that
2 years I was in WBAL.
What years were they, dear?
That was 1975 to 1977.
Well, Baltimore is still one of those cities to watch, I'll tell you. Well, Dog World Magazine opened your eyes and heart to what you wanted to do with your life. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Please explain that.
Well, I describe in the book about how during the time my mother became very ill with breast cancer, her mother took us to the pet store, and I discovered Dog World magazine. And I had no real knowledge of purebred dogs before that. I was 12 years old, and the sight of all those beautiful dogs moved me very much, and I got my father to help me get a wire fox terrier, and that began my life in dogs, which continues to this day, breeding and showing dogs.
Were there any particular dogs at that time that you liked more than others?
I've always been somebody who likes them all. I'm a breeder of Whippets and Brussels Griffons, as you said, but I have 10 dogs, and sometimes people say, oh, that's so many, and I say, I am the height of restraint.
Well, Well, yeah, you got more than we got, that's for sure. But but it's hard to stop with a couple. It really is.
No, they're also wonderful.
Yeah, they sure are. Especially at bedtime. It is so much fun. Now, there was a time period when you almost, well, you considered suicide, but you changed your mind. Dogs had something to do with that, didn't they?
Yes, and I was experiencing the psychological benefit that can come to someone who has a dog. I was a very depressed teenager after my mother died, and I certainly had the feeling many days I wanted to have an end to all this pain I was feeling. But I couldn't, because my dog was there, Bonnie. She needed me. Somebody had to walk her. Someone had to feed her. And she was my dog. No one else in the family had feelings towards her the way I did. So I kept on, and I always felt that I really owe a lot to Bonnie for that.
Yeah. Well, you also noted that in the past 15 years, scientists the world over have established beyond doubt the therapeutic value of dogs. Now, you mentioned a number of those scientists. Let's do this kind of briefly, because there is so much good information in this book. This is the best book on dogs I've ever read. I've read a lot of good books, but this is the best. There's no two ways about that. Who were some of those scientists, and what did they establish, dear?
Well, I wanted to find out what exactly we can say about how dogs help man, because while I'm a dog lover, I am a journalist too, and I really don't like when people say things and I don't know whether that's true or not. Like, I heard, oh, dogs can find cancer. And I, well, how? How can they do that? But I started from the very beginning, which is each one of us has our own dog. We form a bond with that dog, and we get benefits from that. The amazing thing is that you take your dog into a nursing home, and he gives the same benefits to someone else, to a patient. Well, it sounds like a very nice thing, but doctors have taken blood samples from patients, and they were able to confirm that when someone sees someone who likes dogs sees a dog, they get a release of oxytocin into the bloodstream, which gives a sense of well-being. So when you say that the sick people enjoyed seeing your dog, you're right. It's absolutely true. And from there, I went on to look at how dogs help relieve pain. I was fascinated to find out that this is an idea that started with the Aztec Indians, a very highly developed civilization in Mexico. The Aztec priests had a breed of dog that they specifically bred to heal their patients. And the idea was that they would bring four dogs, and you would lie down, and they put the four dogs on you, and you had to sleep for four nights with the four dogs. Well, from what we know of what the Aztecs were saying, they believed that after four nights, your pain would pass into the dogs. That may or may not be true, but what science tells us is that touch can break up pain. So, in other words, if someone would rub your back or stroke you, give you a hug, all those different things do help to break up the signal of pain that's going into your brain. Well, your loved one isn't always available all day for a hug, but your dog is. And the dog can bring that warm power of touch. The Zolos are hairless, and they're also used to that job of being dog to touch people, keep them warm. So that breed is very cuddly. But in fact, you could pick up your own dog, even if he's an Airedale, and the power of touch would still have the same effect.
Do you call it Zolo or Sholo?
It's supposed to be Sholo.
Sholo.
But whenever I see that X, that always is a Z to me.
That's what I thought, too. But you have two Sholos.
Yes,
right?
I sent you the photo.
Yeah, I have them right here, where they're sitting in front of my Statue of Liberty. This is a handsome dog.
Well, that's really nice of you to say, because the hairless Solo wins a lot of ugly dog contests.
Well, not in my book. I give him all the... Yeah, I just think this looks like an extremely intelligent dog.
They are. And I am real interested in the social history of dogs, which is what does the breed go back to?
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've heard from people who have collies or border collies that they brought the dog in their house and it herds their children into the kitchen and things like that because they were bred to do that. And that's in there. It's in their genes. Well, when I got these Solos, I discovered that they go to your sore places. They come right up on you and lie on your neck. They get in your shoulder. In fact, there was a funny thing. A couple months ago, I brought the one home, and my dog sitter, Chris, was looking after the dogs for the afternoon, and I had to run out. And I came back later, and he said, "You won't believe what happened. I got a migraine headache, and I lay down on the sofa, and Zan came and laid on my head." And I said, "You're right. I don't believe it." He said, "No, it's true. It's true." And we laid there, and I feel much better. So while I'm a journalist and I can document what the scientists have said and what their studies have been published, there's some magic there, too.
I think so, too. Well, go get back to, especially when we get to the smelling cancer and other things, just extraordinary. What I was found so stupidly extraordinary is that some of the skeptical doctors just refused absolutely to take those studies seriously. But we'll get that a little later on. Now, how did the human-canine bond begin? You introduce a lot of things in this book that, for some strange reason, I just never thought about before. And I don't know why I never thought about it. But, as you note, domestication is a tricky process, and only 7 animals have been fully domesticated. So how did the human-canine bond begin?
I was amazed to find out all this as well. I wanted to look and see what was the history that man had with dogs. And it was fascinating to me to discover that many scientists think that man did not domesticize the dog so much as the dog domesticized themselves. In other words, they chose us. They saw us at our campfires and hunting the way we did, and this relationship developed. And there never was a case that the person was going and dragging the dog in and saying, "Okay, we're going to domesticate you now." No, it was a partnership where each side had benefits. And that was 11,000 years ago, as far as we know. And I recently came on some research that said they think that one of the reasons the Neanderthal man does not exist any longer, and it was the Paleolithic man who survived, maybe because of dogs. The Paleolithic man learned how to use dogs to hunt. They used them to get rid of the waste around their settlements. They used them for many different things. But the Neanderthal man, no skeletons of dogs have ever been found. So we might have had 2 breeds of humans, except that only one breed domesticated dogs.
Yeah, I'll wait till we get into this other aspect of the breeds of dogs and which ones came first, and we're going to do that after we take a break. But before we do that, in 1950, but friends, I just learned so much from this book. It is not, yes, of course, it's well written and all of that, but the amount of information in it was just lovely. I wish I would have had, I only had a whole day and a half to read everything. That's not a good way to read a book. This is the kind of book to take to the beach. This is the kind of book that if you have it on the beach, someone's going to borrow it from you because they're going to get pretty excited about it. They will, you know, because this has information in it that you're not going to find in most other books about dogs. In 1950... Dimitri K., I may mispronounce this, Belyev, a Russian geneticist, began a 45-year study of foxes. What did he learn?
He was able to do that 45-year-old study because that was during communism when a central government dictated who could do studies. And his study is so long because of that. But he was tasked with helping farms to breed a silver fox that would reproduce in captivity. And, of course, they wanted the silver foxes for their fur. But at the time, in 1950, they weren't able to do that very successfully because all the silver foxes that they captured were too nervous to breed. They didn't eat. They became sick. So Belyaev took the most domesticated, the most gentle. He strictly went by behavior to find who he would breed. And he went through the foxes that they had, and he took the 5% of the most gentle foxes. And he did that generation after generation. He would just keep a small percentage of the most domesticated foxes. And within a few generations, it didn't even take the whole 50 years. It was maybe 20 years. He started to see mutations that had never been seen before except in the dog. He saw color mutations. So the silver foxes who developed silver because that's what you needed in to be wild in Siberia, they started to become different colors. He got red. He got gold. He got black and white. And actually, black and white is one of the most interesting mutations because pinto animals don't exist in the wild. It's a strictly domesticated animal color. And the ears of the foxes, which are normally completely alert, he started to get foxes with drop ears and with hanging ears like a bloodhound. And he got foxes who wag their tail. No animal wags its tail except the dog. And now he had foxes that even as adults would wag, wag, wag when someone came by. So what he was discovering is that the adrenaline, which controls behavior, is closely related to melanin, which controls color.
Yeah.
And no one had ever had that idea before.
That's just, this is a very exciting part of the book, friends. So when you get a copy of this book, please, you've got to turn to this particular section. Go from pages 13 to 16. You'll see what I mean. We need to take our first break here on 21st Century Radio. And our guest is Shara Saxon. The book is Pause and Effect, The Healing Power of Dogs by Spiegel and Grau, G-R-A-U. Click on the link to her book from the front page of 21stcenturyradio.com. And when you're there, order two or three of them, friends. This is one of the finest books on dogs you'll ever read.
Rich Andre with a look at beach traffic and this update by Geico Insurance. Been a fairly quiet afternoon and evening overall at the Bay Bridge. Some heavy traffic still continues westbound from Kent Island back toward Edwardo County, but no delays. That's pretty much been the rule all day long. Eastern Shore, a couple of stoplight delays here and there going through Easton and Cambridge, and just a bit busy maybe up by the signal at 213 on westbound 50, and that should be about it. On 404, also going westbound toward 50, we're just a little bit heavy for about a mile or so as you approach the merge there with 50, but all lanes should be open on 50 and 404. Then also on southbound 95 will be a little bit heavy, but a pretty good drive there, going all the way down from Delaware past the Millard Tidings Bridge through Baltimore County down toward the Beltway on the northeast side. This update by Geico, 1-800-947-AUTO for your free quote or visit geico.com on your internet. Richard Andre with Beach Traffic here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And now another reason to switch to Geico.
Three words, homeowners insurance. Wait a minute, homeowners is actually one word. Well, anyway, Geico can help insure your home, too. And if you're a renter, Geico can also help you with great renter's insurance. Oh, and don't forget these other words. Helpful advice, excellent coverage, fast, friendly, reliable service. How many words is that? Sorry, I kind of lost count there.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's or homeowner's insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
And now, another reason to switch to Geico.
Instead of paying more for car insurance, you'd rather pay less. Call you crazy, but for some strange reason, you like saving money. And guess what? With things like money-saving rates, multi-car discounts, and good driver discounts, Geico's always looking for ways to lower what you pay for great car insurance. Huh, guess you can call us crazy too.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com, then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Just because you can't sell your house doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to receive the care you need. After all, you've worked hard and deserve the best. Let us take care of you first, then we'll worry about selling your house. Visit www.myhchp.com to find out how Harmony Hall Assisted Living Community is there for you. Call 410-531-6000.
The views and opinions of the guests and hosts you hear are not necessarily those of the owners, management, or advertisers of Talk Radio 680. WCBM.
If you're a business owner or executive seeking growth yet determined to cut wasteful costs, consider outsourcing your whole marketing department to The Selling Well. The Selling Well offers businesses truly superior marketing services without all the overhead costs associated with employing a full-time marketing executive. Learn more online at theSellingWell.com. That's theSellingWell.com, named after one of our greatest symbols of prosperity, the well. Visit theSellingWell.com or call The Selling Well's managing partner, Plato Hieronymus, at 443-939-1890. TheSellingWell.com.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio's Hieronymus and Company, where knowledge comes first. And now, here's something I hope you really like.
There's Aunt June Foray. Gosh, we haven't spent time with her in a long time. You know, she was the voice of Rocky the Squirrel and Natasha and Bullwinkle. Well, she wasn't the Bullwinkle voice, but she also did Pogo. Did you know Pogo was a movie? Yes, indeed. A couple movies. Well, Baltimore Cares About Pets is holding a Yappy Hour at the Wine Bin in historic Ellicott City on June the 12th from 6 to 9. Well-behaved dogs are welcome to attend in the parking lot next to the Wine Bin. That's 8390 Main Street. The Yappy Hour will be serving wine, beer, and snacks. I'm just thinking of the dogs here. Providing live music and announcing the dog DNA results for Chloe, the Wine Bin's dog. Cast your votes now for what breed you think Chloe is, or a combination of, and enter the raffle to win a basket of wine. Plus, raffle tickets to benefit Spay, Maryland, and Gentle Giants Draft Horse Rescue. That's June the 12th, Yappy Hour at the Wine Bin in Ellicott City. We also urge you to support the BaltimoreAnimalShelter.org. Please consider rescue animals for all your pets. For the month of June, all kitty adoptions are free at BaltimoreAnimalShelter.org. Finally, check out the BaltimoreCaresAboutPets.org for talk dog training, solving any behavior problems your dog may be experiencing. BaltimoreCaresAboutPets.org is where Zahara and I found Bella, one of the most recent additions to our canine family, and many thanks to them. Our guest this hour is Sharon Saxon. The book is Paws and Effect, The Healing Power of Dogs, Spiegel and Growl. Check on the link to her book from the front page of 21stCenturyRadio.com. Sharon, which breed of dog was first?
It's a big debate, and scientists have tried very hard to narrow it down. The most interesting research that's been done took DNA from many breeds, including the ones who claim to be the oldest. And the traditional breeds claiming to be oldest are the Norwegian Elkhound and the Saluki from the Middle East. They took their DNA and lots of other breeds, and they compared it with the DNA of the fox, which is the ancestor of the dog. And what they found was that it seemed to be there was not one ancestor, that not one first dog, that what had happened was this evolution that took place where the wolf became the dog seemed to have happened in many different places at similar times. So they, in addition to those two, which always claimed that they were the oldest, now they said, well, there's also the Alaskan Malamute, There is the Pekingese. There is a number of dogs. They came up with 13 that all seem to be ancient dogs having crossed over the border from the wolf so long ago.
That's really fascinating. I really, and again, friends, also make sure you check out pages 16 and 17 of the book on that. Now, there is a patron saint of dogs. I didn't know this. Would you tell us the story of course, we'll have to simplify it, of Saint, is it pronounced Roque or Rock?
It's Roque, like as in Roquefort cheese.
Oh, Roque. Saint Roque. Roque.
Yeah.
Okay.
Saint Roque was born in a noble family in Montpellier, France. And he was very affected by a monk that he had met who was on his way to Rome. So Roque sold his worldly goods and made his way to Rome. He wanted to become a priest. And he was given the gift of healing. He was very good at nursing people who were sick. He started to go into villages where the plague had hit. And the plague was a terrible disease. It would come in and kill a third of all the people who got it. He was successful in many different Italian villages in saving a lot of people. Then he became ill. And he knew that he had the plague, and if he stayed in the village, he might reinfect others. So he withdrew to the forest, and he planned to live out his days, and he just had some water by the stream, but no food. The first day, a dog showed up carrying a loaf of bread. And Roque took the bread. He ate it. He took this as a sign that he wasn't to die. And every day, this dog came and brought him the bread. And he lived to go on to heal many more villages.
Now, where was he getting this bread from?
Well, it turned out the dog was taking the bread from his owner, who was a nobleman in the area, who was unconnected to the village or St. Roque or any of the things that were going on. But this man followed his dog one day, and he found the holy man that the dog was taking the bread to. So another chapter in St. Roque's story began because this a wealthy man took him in and helped him with his work. He was able to do even more good now with a sponsor behind him.
Yes, that is just an extraordinary story. I love that story.
It is a touching story.
Oh, it sure is, especially in regards to, you know, I thought, you know, when I got to the part of reading this in which the fella who owned the dog and whose food was being taken, I all of a sudden stepped back into my reading of Robin Hood about 50 some years ago, and I thought, oh no, they're either going to beat up the dog or they're going to they're going to punish the dog in some way for giving out free bread. And of course, that wasn't even in the cards. It was just the reverse of that. That made me very happy, because I read every book that we have on the show, or else why have them on your show? You know, that's simple. Now, there are a lot of great stories, true stories, about various dogs and healings. Would you please tell us about the healing power of the Scottish Terrier Kyle?
This was a very interesting story. When I began to look into the idea that dogs were able to detect cancer, I went onto various lists about dogs on the internet, and I just was asking a question if anybody knew of a dog who had discovered cancer. And of course, that is kind of crazy, and most people haven't. But I got an email from one woman who said, "My Scottish Terrier saved my life." So I called her up and we spoke, and it turned out that Russie McDermott Fogarty had several Scottish Terriers, and she lives in West Virginia, and she adopted one who was kind of a runt of his litter, not a nice show dog, but just a dog she felt drawn to. And this dog used to lie with her when she would get her migraine headaches. And she always had this feeling, he's trying to help me, But he just would lie there, and his presence comforted her. One day, he started to paw and sniff at her jaw. Now, here's the thing, that most people would say to their dog, stop that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a bad dog. Don't do that anymore. But instead, Russie thought, why is he doing that? He's never done it before. Why would he suddenly do that? She decided to go to the doctor and have her jaw checked. The first doctor she went to said, no, you're fine. There's nothing wrong with you. And come back next year. But the dog kept on sniffing, pushing, poking her jaw. She decided, okay, I'm going to see a specialist. She went, and the doctor took her immediately into the hospital. She had a very advanced stage of jaw cancer, and half her jaw had to be removed. Mm-hmm. And she never would have gone there except that the dog knew about her health and warned her, and she listened.
Made all the difference in her life. Boy, gee. Now, there are many other good stories we're going to touch on, but they're also, this book's appendix is terrific. You want to see a good appendix? Here, I'll hold it up to the microphone. There you have it. I mean, you know, the reason, you know, you read about these places when you'd like to make contact with them, well, like the Delta Society Therapy and Angel on a Leash and Therapy Dogs International and Assistance Dog is Internet. Well, now you got all that information in the appendix. And not only that, it's got a terrific bibliography, as you'll begin to find out that there's a lot of really important research in this area, of course. And then there's a book without a good index is trouble. This has got a good one. So thank heavens you're a scholar, dear, in this particular area. So you know that those things are important to us folks who really like to learn about things. Now, there's a group called Paws of San Francisco, PAW of San Francisco. And it cares, obviously. Tell us about Paws of San Francisco, how it cares for dogs.
Their acronym stands for Pets Are Wonderful Support. You find this acronym PAWS a lot.
Yeah.
Around the dog world. But Pets Are Wonderful Support got its start from people who were working in the San Francisco Food Bank back in the mid-80s. And at that time, no one supplied food for dogs. They only supplied it for people who were sick and poor and would come to the food bank and register. But what the volunteers discovered is that the people cared so much about their dogs that they were giving food to their dogs. And the person had a monthly amount that they would get. And if they were giving it to the dog, it meant that they weren't getting the nutrition. So they saw a need there. And they started this organization to supply food for the dogs of people who were sick. At first, it was very simple. But then they realized that what the people really need is someone to watch the dog when they're in the hospital, when things are really bad. So they got together and they organized so that when there was somebody who was ill and was going to be hospitalized, a couple volunteers would take over care of the dog, either by taking it to their home or by coming to that person's home and walking the dog. It was incredible service. And from the small beginnings, it's grown into quite a big organization.
Well, we're going to touch on a few other of those organizations, but I think we better take our final break and award a copy of this book to one of our listeners who pays attention. Our guest is Sharon Saxon. The book is Paws and Effect, EFFECT, okay, not AFFECT. The Healing Power of Doggies, nope, Dogs, sorry, Spiegel and Growl. Click on the link to her book from the front page of 21stCenturyRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Frankie Avalon. You know, it's been a long time since I sang Venus in South Philly, but I feel younger and stronger than ever. Because I take Rescue Orosine. We all like to remember the good old days. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can start living more good old days right now. Rescue Orosine gives me health, vitality, and protection for my heart. It'll do the same for you. Rescue Orzine is an all-natural supplement proven by leading doctors to restore your heart, boost energy, reduce blood pressure, stabilize heart palpitations, and help you feel young again. Protecting my heart and health lets me live my life to the fullest and keeps me singing to audiences around the world. So call now. Give Rescue Orzine 30 days. You'll feel better than you have in years, or you won't pay. Just call 1-800-26-ALIVE. Tell them Frankie sent you. That's 1-800-262-5483.
You can live truly debt-free on just the money you already make using my proven system. Let me send you a free tape today that shows you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't consolidate your debt. It eliminates it, no matter how much debt you have.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Commuta.
Call now and I'll rush you my free tape. Call 1-800-618-4001. That's 1-800-618-4001. 1-800-618-4001.
Now is the best time to invest in real estate. We'll show you how step by step. You've heard our radio commercials. Now hear the radio show. We don't just talk about real estate. We're doing it. Real Estate Riches, Sunday afternoons at 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Transcending the speed of light, consciousness, quantum physics, and the fifth dimension. Space-time continuum scientists can no longer ignore the realm of the mind. Sunday night at 8, 21st Century Radio, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Zoe Hieronymus here. Do you ever wonder how biblical women dealt with stress? They experienced famine, war, lack of water, shortage of shelter, and inequality in their culture overall. But somehow, the seven prophetesses of Israel all rose to great leadership as a warrior, midwife, judge, royal queen, and more. Find out how you can be a queen. Kabbalah gives us all the tools for becoming the most we can be. Learn how to create peace in your life and love of others in your heart. Read my book, The Kabbalistic Teachings of the Female Prophets, the Seven Holy Women of Ancient Israel. Visit www.sevenholywomen.com. That's www.sevenholywomen.com, or visit amazon.com to get my book, The Kabbalistic Teachings of the Female Prophets.
Well, we're going to slip back into a little time warp here, friends, from a previous incarnation. How would you like to win a free copy of the book that we're talking about tonight, the book Pause and Effect, The Healing Power of Dogs by Sharon Saxon, Spiegel & Grau, a division of Random House. Click the link to order the book on the front page of 21stCenturyRadio.com. If you know the answer to this hour's trivia question, you will win that book, plus a dozen other books and periodicals. Here's the question. We had two guests on Hour 1 to talk about Woodstock, A New Look. Your job is to name one of those two authors. You name one of the two authors that we had on last week on Hour 1, and you'll be our winner. But you need to qualify, and here's how you can do that. If you know the answer to this hour's quiz question on 21st Century Radio, and you have not won from us in the last 60 days, call in now. 410-922-6680. That's 410-WCBM-680. First with the right answer wins. Prizes are available for you to pick up at the WCBM studios in Pikesville after Friday of this week. Winners have 60 days to pick up the prizes and must wait 60 days before winning another prize from 21st Century Radio. Good luck.
Hello, this is Penelope Smith, Animal Communication Specialist. I'm a pioneer in the field, have been doing this over 35 years communicating with animals, and I've written Animal Talk and When Animals Speak. And this is 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Gotta have cookies, what makes you come running just like a rocket? You smell one lurking in somebody's pocket. What makes you sit up or nicely shake hands? Some dog talk everyone understands. Cookies.
That's right. You remember that one? Remember that show? Welcome back to 21st Century Radio with our guests Sharon Saxon, Pause and Effect, The Healing Power of Dogs, Spiegel and Grau. Again, click on the link to her book from the front page of 21stCenturyRadio.com. Now, this is no doubt about it. This is the best book on dogs I've ever read. Now, it's true. I wasn't paid to say any of this. And you never paid me anything to say about this, did you?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Well, you're anyway. Doing awful good, though.
Yeah, no, really, this is just, it was so much fun. You really, as this is the book to read on the beach. Again, you know, you're going to have to get a couple of copies of it, friends, mainly because when people see it, they're going to try to borrow it, then you'll never get it back. So give it away as presents. Now, there are many other groups we're going to touch on, and we're running out of time here. This should have been a two-hour show. Well, anyway, in The Healing Power of Whippets, you review Sean, a captain's healing relationship. The captain's name, actually, it was the dog was named Captain, that is.
Right, Sean the Captain. Yeah.
Could you please share with us this particular experience?
That was a very touching story that happened to me several years before I got this idea to write the book. I had a family come in. They had one daughter who was, they were looking for a dog for her, and they also had a teenage son who had emotional problems. He was not doing well in school, and he had never had a friend. And he came to the kennel. He was not anxious to see the dogs. He wasn't interested in them. But I had a little puppy who had never taken an interest in any human. And my method of matching up the puppies and the humans is to just put them together and we see what happens. I believe that the right one will find the right one. And so while Amber was looking at a puppy for herself, this other puppy who had never come out and spoken with any human or been attached to any human came to Sean. And not only came to him, but he did a funny thing. He climbed up until his heart was over Sean's heart, and he just wanted to stay there. It was very strange. So I told the family that this puppy had never picked any other person. And eventually they decided to take him. They were pretty surprised at first, too. But as soon as that dog got home, he and Sean became a team. He was so helpful in Sean's life. From the first week, the teachers were calling and saying, you know, Sean's never spoken in school before, and now he is telling his classmates about this dog. And he'd bring the dog around and show it to them. And it broke down a lot of barriers for him. He started to be able to interact with people. And the family and I always kept in touch because they were just so amazed and grateful that what they had spent thousands of dollars on therapy never worked. But when they came and got this puppy, that was the breakthrough that helped their son.
There's a lot of magic here, all right?
A lot of magic.
You know, there are so many other institutions. One way I think we should touch on a little bit here is the only educational institution in the world that grants a degree in service dog training is the Assistance Dog Institute, ADI, and its founder and director is Bonnie Bergen. Tell us about Bonnie and her accomplishments. What an extraordinary soul she is.
She is amazing, and I was so excited to meet her. You know, if some people are excited to meet a movie star, that's how I felt about Bonnie Bergen. I went out to meet her at her place there in Santa Rosa, and she is the woman who had the idea to create the service dog. It was her idea. No one else had it. It was the mid-1980s, and she was getting her degree as a social worker, and she wanted to help handicapped people. And she thought, well, why not get a dog to pick up things they drop or maybe open a door? There's some very simple ideas. And her school made fun of her. Other people said no. Her advisor wouldn't accept it as a master's thesis. And she was rejected in every possible way, and yet she went forward. She said, I'm going to try this. And so she got together with a woman named Carrie Nouse Hardy, and who was wheelchair-bound, had very little use of her arms and legs. And they got a dog and started to train him to pick things up, to pull a blanket across Carrie when she was cold, to open the door. They put a special hook on a door when you want a dog to open it. they taught him to open the refrigerator. Again, you tie a towel around the handle, and then the dog can pull that open. He could go in the refrigerator and get a bottle of water and bring it to her. He could pick up keys. In all, they ended up teaching him 90 things.
90 things!
And those same 90 commands are the ones used today to help people. So when you see a dog with a vest on that says service dog, there now are many, many places you can train a service dog. You could train one yourself if you were so inclined. But Bonnie Bergen, she was the first, and I went out there, and I was just amazed at the things she's doing now. In fact, when I was there, what she was doing, the vineyards in San Francisco were threatened by the mealy bug. This was 2 years ago that I visited her. And she had trained dogs to find the mealy bug. Because the thing about the mealy bug is you don't know it's there until it's already destroyed your crop. So when you know, it's already too late. But she was able to train dogs to detect it at a very early stage. So any of the vineyards that have her dog working will never be brought down by that problem.
I'm going to... She certainly should be Saint Bonnie Bergen.
Yeah.
There's no... because she kept on taking chances. She kept on evolving over a period of time, her thoughts and her work. And most people, when they finally achieve a certain amount of success, don't necessarily move on to anything else or evolving that success and taking greater chances. But
right.
Saint Bonnie Bergen did that. I just love this one area of can dogs learn to read?
Who would even think of that?
Yeah, I know.
Who would even think of that? Bonnie Bergen thought of that. And what she thought was, you know, if a dog saw a sign for an exit, that would be helpful to the handicapped person who couldn't see, and they could say, or for the parking lot, if they knew how to see that sign. So she started teaching them in a very traditional way, and she knew she wasn't teaching them to read. She was just teaching them to recognize a sign. And so when they saw a certain sign, she would reward them. And they learned in this method to recognize the sign for exit, the sign for restroom, the sign for parking lot. But what happened over the course of time as she was training them, she used stick figures sometimes, and the dogs began to interpret the stick figures on their own. And she talks about how it started, where she had a stick figure of a dog sitting down, and one of her trainers went and showed this to one of the dogs who had been learning to read, but the dog had never, ever been taught about stick figures. The dog studied the sign and then sat. And that's an incredible breakthrough into consciousness, mm-hmm. into brain use for a dog. We did not think a dog could use their brain to put together enough things to understand that the way that dog did. And now she's working in that area.
Well, there's a lot that we're going to not be able to talk about tonight. We're not going to be able to talk about Rick Young, who studied Bonnie Bergen's methods, got a grant to start the Golden Rule Assistance Dog Program.
Right.
Friends, go check it out when you get this book. We're not going to be able to talk about CCI, or Canine Companions for Independence, and the services that they perform, or the Westminster Kennel Club, and David Fry, I guess that's how you pronounce his name,
right.
Started its own charity, Angel on a Leash. Wow! We got a few minutes. We can talk a little bit about what studies have been done that support the fact that dog smell is about 10,000 times better than a human's.
Yes, this is work that was done by Dr. James Walker at the Sensory Institute of the University of Florida. And he, again, when he set out to do this, all the university that he worked with and all the scientists discouraged him. There is a very big bias against doing anything with dogs, studying dogs. It's not looked upon as serious science. But he wanted to know, how good is a dog's sense of smell? Is it something we should rely on, or is it random? He designed a series of tests using NAA, a chemical that he would dilute. First, he took a human's threshold of where they could smell at 1 to 100, and then he started to look for where was the threshold of a trained scent detection dog. He had a police dog. And his discovery was that at a minimum, the dog could smell 10,000 times better than the human.
A minimum.
It went up to 100,000.
just 10 times more. That's all. I have to confess that I cried about 3 times reading this book. The some of the stories just really got me. But the one story, the story about how skeptical the doctors were, didn't make me cry. Made me a little bit upset because I see this in so many different areas of other research. In the new paradigm, they seem to oppose everything. Anyway, the dogs, this is the one that really got me. Dogs have served in America's armed forces at least a century. Please, we in the limited time we got here, in about 3 minutes, tell us the story of Fluffy, who served in Iraq and who saved hundreds of lives, and his handler, Army Sergeant First Class Russell Joyce. God bless these guys who pressured the Army to save this heroic military dog.
The amazing thing about Fluffy, he was working for Saddam Hussein. He began his life working in the police force of the Iraqi police, and during the time the police deserted most of their stations, he was somehow left behind, and Sergeant Joyce asked the Mosul rebels who were helping him for a dog because his unit knew that a dog would provide really good protection for them. They went and found this dog in the police station and brought him to the Americans. And Sergeant Joyce, who was not a dog trainer of any kind, figured it out. He turned the dog around. His name at the time was Terror, by the way. They later changed it to Fluffy. But the dog, within a couple days, understood that he would protect the Americans. And he became such a good sentry dog that he could tell when someone was approaching from a distance so great they had plenty of time to react. So they now would go to sleep, and they knew the dog would protect them. And Fluffy came to kind of prominence when they tried to bring him home and found the regulations prevented it. There's actually been a lot going on in this area, even since I wrote about it. But Fluffy was at first refused to come to the U.S. So when Sergeant Joyce got home, he found out there was this organization called the Vietnam Dog Handlers Association. He got in touch with them. They had all lost their dogs. 5,000 dogs went to Vietnam, 200 came home.
Some of them over there had to be left. Some of them were eaten there. Some of them were killed. Just extraordinary. I am so sorry. I apologize for being so short-sighted, Sharon. This should have been a two-hour show. Fluffy.
Well, I love talking to you at any length.
Well, Fluffy was saved, as my producer goes on.
He was saved as a result.
Yes, he was saved. Certainly, I hope those kind of things won't recur, but you can never tell. Thank you for joining us. This is an extraordinary work. This is the best book on dogs I've ever read. God bless you, dear, for doing such a fine job.
Thank you very much.
You have done an awful lot to help this entire planet by your book. All right, friends. And when we return, yes, indeed, we're going to be talking about raw chocolate, a raw chocolate class at Ruscom. And then we go to, with Rich Harris, to Leon Day's Community and Family Fun Festival on June the 13th.
Names in talk on Talk Radio 680 WCBM, Baltimore.
From ABC News, I'm Brad Wheatless.